A5. Number 1B.
So if we go out from seeing that really only the spiritual is the real, then we are also willing to give to that real our whole attention. In other words, we have to make up our mind where we set our priorities. Are the priorities in our consciousness to concentrate on the spiritual, the divine, or should we concentrate on the material, the human, or not? So each one, so to say, should sit down tonight when he is alone by himself and ask himself, am I willing really to set the priorities right? Am I really willing to have what I would say the courage? And it needs courage. Do I have the courage to see that the total engagement to the one being, to the seven synonymous terms and what they mean, is foremost in my heart or not? This is a question that each one has to ask himself very honestly and can only answer it to himself all alone. And he must be aware that if he feels, no, I want to back out, that he is quite free to back out. But he will never reap the fruits of the spiritual that he also must be aware of. We only can really have the success and the fruits of the divine and the spiritual when that is supermost in our consciousness, in our intentions, in our heart, in our devotion, in everything. See, this is what makes really somebody successful in anything, that he has a total engagement in whatever he does. It is that little extra that he puts into it that makes him a professional compared with the others. And so it is with the spiritual. I never forget what John Dolly told us when I was quite a young student. He said, put in the little extra. And only if you put in the little extra, you will succeed. Otherwise, you will not succeed. And this little extra is that one sees, is one honest and consistent in our attitude or not? Do I really believe? Is this really honestly so that I believe that being is only spiritual? Or is this just a nice religious belief? And this is a very straightforward, honest question for each one to answer. And if one sees and says, yes, I can see that actually only the spiritual is eternal, the spirit alone is infinite, everything else is limited, it's limited in time, it's limited in space, it's limited in capacities, it's limited in possibilities, it's limited in faculties, it's limited in every way, it's limited, then one says to oneself, what's the use of devoting oneself to that which is anyway not leading anywhere? Do we actually believe that being is eternal and therefore shape our consciousness and our life and our devotion and our intentions into that direction and not into another direction? It needs courage. The sissies can't do it. It needs really courage. And if you look at the big calibers in the spiritual realm, like a Paul or a Luther or a Mrs. Eddy, they all had terrific courage. Terrific courage. They needed it, or they would never have pulled through. So it is a terrific adventure of devoting oneself to the investigation of our true nature as being the nature of the seven synonymous terms, and see that that true nature, that is our nature, is actually the only nature that is worthwhile considering. One can see, therefore, that that question which comes up very often about the study of the seven synonymous terms is a vain question which says, must I study the seven synonymous term? No, nobody must study the synonymous term. If somebody feels he must study it, he should drop it. It's a grace to be invited to study the synonymous term. It should be a joy to study them. We should hardly wait to have a free hour to study them. We should feel this is the only thing that is worthwhile, that it is the pearl without price, that it is not must I study them. As if one would say to a materialist, must I go over the road to find a bar of gold? He would go, he would hurry. He wouldn't say, must I go? He would just hurry and go and get it. And so it is with the pearl without price. We must not seek it. We have the grace to seek it and to devote ourselves to it. And if the Bible says that we should be faithful over a few things, and that makes us really master over many things, I think with a few things is meant the nature of God, seven terms to be clarified, seven terms to be investigated. It's only seven. It's a few things. But my word, if one is faithful over those few things, it really makes us master over many, many things. So I was always wondering when I read the Bible in earlier times, what is meant by being faithful over a few things? What should those few things be? Are they the commandments? Are they what the church lays down as rules or rights or what? What is it? And here we have an answer that says there are a few things that matter. And that's the study of these wonderful terms that are not terms. They are only at the beginning terms. They are our being, our very being, our true being, our eternal being, our everlasting being. Once we get hold of them, we never lose them anymore. They can never be taken away from us anymore. They will stay with us and stay with us and stay with us. When Mrs. Eddy so the whole question of the seven synonymous terms, she was indicating that these terms are really the basis of her science. Therefore, we can also see that only when we have a correct grasp of the seven synonymous terms, that only then we can really build on that understanding a real science. We can't build a spiritual science on anything else, but on the true grasp of those seven synonymous terms. When we don't grasp them, when we only know them mentally, literally, naturally we cannot build a science on that basis. Only when they become living within us and become real identities of being within us, then they begin to lend themselves for an ever going on of a revelation that never stops. This is the terrific power and intelligence that lies in the good understanding of the seven synonymous terms, that they have in themselves the power to reveal new insights. At the beginning, we have to get hold of them, as if we had to go out and get hold of them, as if they were something outside of ourselves, something objective to us, and have to get hold of them. But as we get hold of them inwardly, we take them in and we are them, and then they have the marvelous ability to reveal the signs of being and to bring forth always new revelations, so that a further step in the line of revelation is never anymore something which we have to grasp and to get hold of. It's something that is born within one's own being, within one's own consciousness, and begins to grow out of itself. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy says, science reveals, and not God reveals. You can therefore look forward to the fruits of a good understanding of the seven synonymous terms by seeing that once one gets hold of them spiritually, so that they are consciously our own being, that they are building up within ourselves an ever-growing and ever-revealing science that never stops, that has no end. Just as the infinite has no end, revelation has no end. And this, I think, is one of the greatest fruits of the seven synonymous terms. Very often one is asked, but the study of the seven synonymous terms is a very long study and a very burdensome study. Is there no shortcut? Well, there may be shortcuts in using up-to-date methods of studying them, but there is no shortcut without studying them. We can't get around study the seven synonymous terms in one way or the other, adapted to the individual. We just can't get around it. And every attempt to get around it, and this is a great danger, to get around it is just a vain attempt. It never leads anywhere. I say it's a great danger. Why? And I tell you very frankly why, because I think it's only right to know it. You see, when we were beginning to see the value of the seven synonymous terms way back in the 30s, we didn't have anything else to study in the textbook, really, than the seven synonymous terms. So we were very happy to study them. We were the happiest people. We felt we were the chosen ones, you know, to be able to finally see that in the understanding of the seven synonymous terms would lie really the key to the whole science of being. And so we just loved to study them. For years and years, every evening, we took every hour we could spare to study them. We had nothing else to do to distract us in Christian Science. The lesson sermon actually didn't distract us very much anymore, and so there was practically nothing. But you are in a different position. You are in a position that is not so easy as ours was, because you come into this study and have about 100 books that are published by our group, and you have 100 books, and you begin to read one and lay down and take up the next one and lay it down and say, well, here is another one and here is another one, and trying to understand our books without knowing the seven synonymous terms. It's impossible. It's just impossible. And therefore, to have the courage and the discipline to put these books aside and say, okay, that's all right, I come back to it afterwards, but first I go and culture my fundamentals, my tools. I first must have my tools before I can start to work with them. And so I have to go through that discipline, that strict discipline of acquainting oneself with those seven synonymous terms. And this is what practically everyone that comes as a new student to this science wants to sidestep. And I can understand it. And each one tries to sidestep it, and then after 5 or 6 years they come and say, oh, I have to go back now, and I have to start right at the beginning, and to start very solidly, and culture myself in the seven synonymous terms. And then only one can really understand our other books. Because unhappily enough, say for you, all our books are written on the assumption that the reader knows the capitalized terms. And that is an assumption which very seldom is the case. Very seldom is the case. So try to see the necessity of this study and see the bigness of it. Perhaps you can do two things, you know, that you have, so to say, your synonym study as a one of your main devotion in the study of Christian Science, and then culture what you already know with Seven Synonymous Terms, perhaps with another book which appeals to you, be it the book on the Bible interpretation or on the textbook or whatever it is that appeals to you, which is written on the basis of Seven Synonymous Terms, so that you have perhaps some kind of balance. But just as a musician, you see, a musician, he always takes a certain time of his day, and say a pianist, he will first play up and down the scale just to make his finger exercise and get into the habit of the fundamentals, and then he plays. I think in the same way, perhaps, if the study of the Seventh Synonymous Term alone may feel to be a bit one-sided or dry or so, well, couple it with something else, but for heaven's sake, try to get hold of those Seven Synonymous Terms. Or else you will always feel to have no firm ground under your feet. And that is a pity. Yes. Now, I have already indicated that this study is not just an academical study, just a study as you study something else, but that it is a study that concerns really the core of our being. You see, perhaps explained it very crudely, you could say, if one studies any other subject, say somebody is interested in trees or in butterflies or any subject, well, he can devote his whole life to investigate and study in butterflies, even beetles, huh? They don't feel that this is lost time if all their life they just have a collection of butterflies and all. But they always will study that subject as an object over there. It's there. If he's interested in trees, all right, he's interested in trees. But he never becomes a tree. He can be interested in butterflies, but he never becomes a butterfly. But if he's interested in the subject of the Seven Synonymous Term, he finally is the very being of those Seven Synonymous Terms. That's the great difference between all other sciences and the science of being, which is our being, that the energy we put into that study is not putting it into an object that is outside of ourselves, but that becomes our own state of being, because it's consciousness of the one being. And this is a great, great difference. In this way, Christian Science differs very, very much from all the other sciences. That this subject is building up a new consciousness, but that new consciousness is not only a new consciousness about something, but it is the new consciousness of what we are, therefore of the new man, of a completely new concept of man, or of what we are, actually of our being. And because we know that consciousness determines our world experience, that's a great rule, so to say, in Christian Science, that what we have in consciousness determines also our experience, that therefore naturally a investigation into the bigger subject of the one being also brings to us another world picture, a world image, another world experience. So that one can see that we are really considering here a terrific subject of far-reaching consequences. I take up another question that comes up in regard to the study of the seven synonymous terms that came up again and again and again. You will hear it. Namely, that students say, yes, this study is very interesting. And I study quite a lot. I study for hours. I go through the references. I study the seven synonymous terms. But I never know how to apply them. How can I apply the seven synonymous terms? How can I make them practical? Well, I remember once way back, it was in 1949 when John Dolley gave his last summer school in Oxford, a terrific summer school, really the climax of his vision. And he was presenting over 2 weeks those four big gospels from the point of view of absolute Christian Science and its impact on the level of Christian Science, the law of how the law of life, truth, and love in absolute Christian Science has its impact on mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in Christian Science. He was constantly showing the relationship of these synonymous terms and synonymous terms. And towards the end of those 2 weeks, somebody came up to him and said, well, John, I like what you say, but couldn't you once tell us how to apply it? And so he said, well, I have been showing you all those 2 weeks how to apply it. It applies itself. See, the question how to apply the seven synonymous term is a wrong question. You can't take a synonymous term as if it would be a sack of, I don't know what, a plaster, and put it over there on the problem and plaster it on the problem and say, what does it do to that? The seven synonymous terms are what? They are words. They are just terms, just concepts, until one begins to understand them. What does it mean to understand them? Until they become subjective within ourselves, and therefore become more and more our own consciousness, our whole attitude of life, and therefore we know consciousness always determines our life experience, therefore consciousness applies itself. So try to see that. So this is another homework for tonight, this very simple point. To get rid of that question, how am I going to apply the seven synonymous terms? Just sit down and contemplate the wonder that if we are actually getting hold spiritually of the synonymous term, that our consciousness is more and more filled with that atmosphere and the spiritual impact of those synonymous terms, and that spiritual impact is that which governs the universe of men. We don't have to take that and plaster it on the situation. We are only living within our own consciousness. We only experience what we have in our own consciousness, nothing else. That is known now today to everybody, that we only experience what we have in our consciousness. So if in our consciousness we build up the nature of being and understand that nature of being, by golly, we don't have to apply it anymore, and you will be surprised how it applies itself, and you may not even like it how it applies itself. You may be very, very cross about how it applies itself, because that wonderful spiritual status of consciousness will oust out of us and our life all that which stands in our way, even if we like it. That spiritual idea will have no error, no quality of error, and will therefore remove everything that is erroneous and offensive to the spiritual idea. And therefore we will see that that spiritual atmosphere that we build up is the Christ to every situation. It's the Savior, the solution, the solving. If I say the Christ, it sounds religious. I could just as well say it's the solving power, the resolving power to every situation. So do that tonight in a quiet moment and just sit and stand in awe before the very fact that in the measure as over the years you get acquainted with the seven synonymous term, that they will be your Christ, that they will look after us, that they will care for us, that they will lead our way, that they will define our mission, that they will be like a bulldozer going over into a new land and break up new land and show us another way and prepare the way so that we can go through unharmed. Yes. That's the question of application, that it applies itself to the problem. But there is still a question that you may ask, namely that Mrs. Eddy does speak about principle and that we have to practice that principle and to apply principle sometimes. There are only a few references to application. And actually, there is an application, but a very different way of application. If at all we are speaking about application, then it is in this way. The only application is that we see that the only application is that we are at one with the seven synonymous term. Not to apply the seven synonymous term to a problem, but that we are, so to say, get synchronized, so to say, with the whole tone of truth. That's our application, and that's our practice, to get into that wonderful rhythm and tone of it, and let those seven synonymous terms work for us. They apply them themselves. Yeah. That's how much I want to say tonight, and perhaps you just think about these few points, and then tomorrow we'll start with the investigation of the seven.